Now, when a person reads and studies what the Bible has to say about the end of days, it's very apparent that the last days will feature a world that's very advanced in its knowledge and technological capabilities. As a matter of fact, let me say this. What I'm going to demonstrate to you tonight is that it will be the AI technology that has already been created and perhaps will be perfected even more and greater, because this is all happening very, very rapidly, will be perfected and used by the Antichrist. That's the person, the title of this person that will basically be the leader of the entire world, a wicked person. The Bible has much to say about this individual. And we're going to just mention tonight what the Bible, how the Bible connects what this man will do and how he will use artificial intelligence. Previous generations and even Bible writers could not have understood what was revealed to the prophets and apostles. If I could say this, we are probably the only, listen to me now, we're the only generation that can understand some of the things that we find in the Bible right now. People that lived in previous generations were scratching their head and saying, really, what does this mean? Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." He's talking about his prophetic book, the book of Daniel. "Even to the time of the end," where we are now. And then he describes that time. "Many will be running to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." That certainly speaks about the uniqueness of our time. Pastor and I were just discussing this a few moments ago before the service tonight. We live at a time where I'm convinced the Holy Spirit is opening our hearts and minds to the prophetic text like no other generation. Please understand, folks, this is the Word of God. It is has a dimension that the human mind cannot on its own without the Spirit of God. Cannot comprehend. We are totally dependent upon the Spirit of God to open our spiritual eyes so we can understand the power, the words that are in this book. The Holy Spirit controls that. As a matter of fact, remember that Jesus, when he resurrected from the grave, he's walking along on the road to Emmaus. I'm illustrating here. He's walking along with these men, and they're talking about the fact, you know, well, what happened in Jerusalem, and they're telling Jesus, "We had hoped that this one man would be the Messiah." Here they're walking along and talking with him. He didn't even know it. And they're talking to him, and finally, remember, the Bible says that they drew him aside. He was to come and to eat with them. And the Bible says that he then opened their eyes that they could see and know it was him. He had to open their eyes, or they would have never known that it was him. Friends, that's what I'm saying to you tonight. Myself, you, we all have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to understand what's in this book. And God's not just looking for people that have a PhD or some college degree. God's looking at the heart of people who love God, who are committed to obeying God, who say, "God, I believe all that your word says. Will you help me understand?" And you seek the face of God, and God then directs us to understand his truth. Now, according to the intricate details of prophetic scriptures, there are several developments of the last days that will require access to technological advances that have been created in the last few decades. Without these advanced technologies, these biblical prophecies could not be fulfilled. There are at least four major future events that will require the use of our modern technologies, and we're going to examine them right now. First, take your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to look at the events that happen in the first half of the tribulation period, but especially in the closing days of the first half of the tribulation period. We're looking at the unique things that unfold at the middle of the tribulation period with two very special men that God calls my two witnesses. Look with me now, Revelation chapter 11, beginning with verse 3. God is speaking. He says through John, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days. That's 1,260 days. Now look up here at me. That happens to be what we learn from the book of Revelation. It is the first half of the tribulation period. Because what we're about to find out is that these men have been ministering for these 1,260 days, and now they're killed. Which means they were ministering prior, obviously, to their death. So that means, and understand that the calculations here in days is not looking at our calendar, which is a lunar-based calendar with 365 days, a solar calendar. We're looking at the Jewish calendar. Remember, God gave His truth in and to and through the Jewish people. And their calendar is a lunar calendar. It has fewer days than our calendar. So 1,260 days is 3.5 years according to the Jewish calendar. So, let me read it again. Verse 3. God says, "I give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,263 score days, clothed in sackcloth." What does that mean? Sackcloth with ashes was always a symbol of mourning and of confession. They're coming in a spirit of confession. Why? Because their forefathers, the Jewish people, from the time Christ ascended back to heaven, had rejected Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. And they're coming back from heaven, where you think they've been. I think this is Moses and Elijah, by the way. And they're appearing here in Jerusalem on the first day, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with sackcloth. Verse number 4. God says, "These are the two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of heaven." Now, he's quoting, look up here at me, he's quoting from Zechariah chapter 4. And when you go back and examine Zechariah chapter 4, you find out that these are Jewish people. These are two Jewish witnesses. Now, some people have said, I don't want to spin my wheels on this, some people have said, well, this was Elijah and Enoch, because there are only two men that never died. Well, we know it's Elijah because the Bible tells us it was Elijah in many, many passages. But the big debate is it Enoch or is it Moses? Well, let the Bible define here what he's talking about. Look at verse 5. Says, "If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of his mouth and devours his enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." Who was that? Well, that was Elijah. 3.5 years, remember, it didn't rain. "And to have power over water to turn them to blood to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Who was that? That was Moses. Enoch had nothing to do with either one of these. By the way, Enoch was not a Jew. Enoch, remember, took his flight. He was somewhat raptured, if you want to put it that way, before the flood. That's Genesis 6. Remember, friends, Genesis 12 is the beginning of the Jewish people with Abraham. So Enoch was 6 chapters before Abraham. So Enoch was not Jewish. So he's out. Enoch cannot be one of the two witnesses. There are other reasons why, but I don't want to get into that right now. But let's read on. He says in verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, 1,260 days, the beast," that's the Antichrist, "that sends out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Now, I want to just say, stop, look up here at me. I want you to say that I believe that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. That means he's Gentile. And who is it right now that's making war with Israel in the Middle East? Islam. That will continue into the tribulation period. And the Antichrist will kill the two Jewish witnesses. Verse 8 says, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Where was that? Jerusalem. Just in passing, isn't it interesting here that Jerusalem is called Sodom? If you've been paying attention to the news, you will know that the LGBT groups, the gay groups, are now invading Jerusalem and demanding that Jerusalem accept their godless, wicked, immoral agenda. And it says in verse 10, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice upon them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." Now, here is something that obviously before the invention of television, and not only that, but not just television, but the fact that now we have with powerful satellites, We can beam through these satellites from one part of the earth to the other in a matter of seconds. We can sit at home with our computer or our television and watch events almost in within the same second that it's happening halfway around the world. Even with television, that ability has not was it could not have happened until just in recent years, till we had these satellites. And the fact, listen, it says here that they are celebrating, they're rejoicing, and sending gifts to one another. Now let me stop for a minute and say this. Do you know what happens in Israel when a Muslim or Arab, Palestinian, kills a Jew? Do you know what happens in Palestinian territories? The Israelis have pictures of this, video of this. The Palestinians are passing out candy and sweets and rejoicing that their friend here just killed some Jewish people a few hours ago. Not only that, but read on. Verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them that saw them. And they heard, and this is talking about the people who saw this, not just in Jerusalem, but the people who were watching from satellite, they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now, remember I told you that the Muslim trait of when they kill Jews is they share candies and sweets with each other. But here's something else that we have found out too, is that if Muslims are in control, they leave the bodies of their enemies to rot in the street. They refuse to give the body proper burial. So here we have a technology that is now available, and AI is going to add to that. So we have these events in Revelation chapter 11. But also, now it's getting even more interesting. Look at Revelation chapter 13 and verses 11 through 15. Now listen carefully what I'm talking, because we're talking here about the image of the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 13, it's the midpoint of the tribulation period. And the Bible tells us in the first half of Revelation 13 about a beast that rises up out of the sea that has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, this is not a real beast. This is all symbolic. And this beast represents the Antichrist and his kingdom. And then John writes in verse 11 of chapter 13, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, let me stop for a minute. The first beast, he tells us, let's go look back over verse 1 of chapter 13. John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, look up here at me. So first of all, John sees this first beast, the Antichrist, rise up out of the sea. The sea, the ocean, represents Gentiles. But notice in verse 11, when he sees this other beast, who we call the false prophet. Now, please understand. Well, the Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, he will have an associate or a lieutenant, if you want to put it that way. He will have another person who is in command with him. He's inferior to the Antichrist, but he is one with the Antichrist. Again, we call him the false prophet. But notice he comes up, verse 11 says, out of the earth. Now, friends, this is, please catch this. This is incredible. The Antichrist is a Gentile coming up out of a Gentile masses of the sea. But the false prophet is a Jew coming up out of the land. So there will be a Gentile Antichrist, I believe a Muslim, who will be associated with a Jew in Israel we call the false prophet. Now let's read on. Verse 11 again. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast that was before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of all men. Now, in other words, he's doing the same thing the two witnesses did. Verse 14. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So here we have an inanimate object called the image that the false prophet has power over. Now, if you haven't connected the dots, friends, Israel is the leading nation in AI and robotic technology. I believe what the scripture is telling us, that at the midpoint of the tribulation period, a wicked Jew with the AI technology will create a twin, a digital twin of the Antichrist, and he will cause that digital twin to speak, sounds just like the Antichrist, looks just like the Antichrist, and he will say to the world, you will bow down and worship this image, and if you don't, then you will have to be killed. Does anybody remember anything like this in Scripture before? How about the book of Daniel? Remember when King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream? He made this statue. And then it says in the next chapter that he made this image of this statue. And he said to all the people, if you don't bow down and worship my image, because I'm God, he said, then you will be killed. That's when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember, were cast into the fiery furnace as a result of that. But the point, friends, I'm making is, please catch this. The Bible is hinting at the fact that in Israel, the Jewish population will be divided. It will be divided by wicked, godless Jews who will be duped by the false prophet to believe that this Muslim Islamic Messiah will be God and that they'll worship him. But remember that he has just killed his opponents, the two witnesses, who've been telling them that Jesus is the Messiah. And we learn from the scriptures that thousands of Jews, tens of thousands of Jews, have given their heart to Christ and accepted him as Messiah, as the Son of God. And so there is this incredible division in Israel. Friends, I tell you right now, what do you see in Israel? You see, since the election of Netanyahu in November, you see Netanyahu with the most biblically conservative government Israel has ever had, and they're being posed and threatened by the wicked liberal Jews in Israel. At the same time, these wicked liberal Jews in Israel are applauding the LGBT community and those who are wanting to take over Jerusalem. Friends, we have the perfect scenario for the development that will unfold at the midpoint of the tribulation period. If we're seeing that now, how close do you think we are to the rapture of the church? Praise God. Amen. So the false prophet will be an Israeli that will create the image of the Antichrist and unite the radical left in Israel to submit to the Antichrist and his false peace covenant. Now look at this. I'm showing you a picture not of the same person twice. One of these individuals is an AI robot. And one is a real person. I will read you what was reported by Epoch News back in January of what happened in China. Hello, everyone. I'm the artificial intelligence news anchor on National Business Daily. I'm the virtual twin of the original host. I have been running, that is reporting you news, undetected for 70 days now. I will just tell you, this is the real person, and that is his virtual twin. In other words, the virtual twin reported on the news in China for 70 days, and nobody detected that it was a humanoid or a robot. They thought it was the real person. In other words, friends, if we are trust the report from Epoch News, we have arrived at the point already where they can duplicate everything necessary to make people believe that a virtual twin, a robot, is really like the other person, the real person they're trying to imitate. What about the events in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18? Look at that with me, if you will. And it says in verse 16, and he, now please catch this. The pronoun he here is not talking about the Antichrist. Listen, so many people don't get this. This he here is not the Antichrist, it's the false prophet. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he has the mark or the name of the beast, that's the Antichrist, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, that's the Antichrist, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now listen to the technology here. It says this, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a free and bond, to receive a mark, or literally the word to mark there could mean a cutting, in their right hand or their forehead. Now, you are looking here at actual photographs on the left. The size of a grain of rice is a little electronic deal that they can, a chip that they can actually put inside of a, and right under the skin, as you see on the right side. Already 50,000 people worldwide have received this microchip in their hand. They've already received it. And the Bible says in Revelation 16, 2, something unique about the 666, there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon man, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And what the Bible is telling, something unique about this technology that the Bible is talking about here, that will be used by the increasing climate heat of that time of the tribulation, will cause whatever it is in the hand of this person, it will cause it to rupture, perhaps, and cause some kind of a problem. Now, we are, notice it says that it's to be in the hand or the forehead. Now, if you look at me, you will notice that my body is completely covered with the exception of my arms, my hands, and from the neck up. All of us knows we've gone to stores to purchase something now, and we go in, we've been living in a digital world for a very long time, and if they're going to scan something, if you're going to buy something, now, when I was in high school, I worked in a grocery store, and we actually had a stamp, and we would stamp the price on every product, and on the shelf there was the price of that product. So I was actually also a checkout clerk, and I would have to look at that number on there and punch that in, take the next one, punch that in, and now you don't do that. You have what's called barcodes. And they simply scan that barcode. Now, all of us know that if you take a loaf of bread and you're going to scan, sometimes it's hard because, you know, the surface of where that barcode is wrinkled. But if you take that and smooth it out, make it flat, you can scan it very easily. If you're going to put something on me, a chip, that will not be interfered with clothing or whatever, where are you going to put it? Well, you're going to put it on a flat place that's exposed. The best flat place, especially if you've got long sleeves, is the back of the hand or the forehead. Friends, what I'm trying to tell you is we already have the technology. Now, I'm not saying this, listen to me. What we're using now is not the mark of the Antichrist. It doesn't appear to the midpoint of the tribulation because it's connected, get it, to his name. I'm going to share with you what that means right now. Before I do that, notice in the size of this little, of the finger here, you will see a little device that's called an RFID, a radio frequent identification device. It is the plan, and it's already on many of our products, but what they plan to do is put this on every product that you purchase in the store, whether it's clothing or it's grocery store or whatever. And when you are going to go exit the building, The computer will be able to read this frequency that's coming off this chip here and upload it into the computer with an automatic price that it knows, the name of the product, the amount of the product. It can do, if you have two or three dozen items in your buggy, no problem. It picks all of them up instantly, records them all instantly, and then will at that time also digitally take that from your credit card, or if you have a chip by that time, it would take it off of that. This technology is being used in several countries in Europe already. In other words, there's not going to need to be a person checking it out. They're also, this will be used greatly because that means that the computer will tell the people who reorder products to put them on the shelves how many they have left on the shelf and how many have been purchased, because it's all computer generated. We're now hearing about the rise of digital currency. I have some inside information from a friend of mine who actually works as an international banker, and I was just informed just a few weeks ago by this individual that in July there will be several places in the United States where they will have pilot programs with digital currency. Now, what does that mean? Let me stop for a minute. Digital currency simply means it's a payment that is accepted other than cash. It's either digital would mean credit card, a check, or any other means other than cash. When we go to the digital currency, it simply means cash will no longer be accepted, period. It will only be a digital number, your digital number, that will be accepted. Now, this is called central bank digital currency. We now have the technology in our world, in our country, that everyone that has this digital number attached to your account, by the way, we all have these numbers, don't everybody here's got a social security number, I guarantee you. And if you have a credit card, that's another form of a, you know, we're already a numbers game society, aren't we? We all understand this. But the uniqueness of the central bank digital currency is that the government will be able to approve or cancel your individual purchase instantly. Have you noticed that when you go and use your credit card, I do this in Little Boone's Mill at the post office. And it's amazing to me that after they tabulate my packages and I stick my credit card in that machine, that in 3 to 5 seconds it goes beep, 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 you can pull my card out. That means that digital information of what I'm mailing out has just been sent somewhere. I have maybe completely around the world via satellite out there. Get this. I mean, it's going into outer space and come back and sent back to that machine and get a Little Boone's Mail. Now, the way this technology will work with the government is they will know everything about you, and they will tell you what you can buy and what you can't buy.
Sounds like gun control.
It's much worse than gun control, because it's food control, it's electricity control, it's control of all kinds. In other words, if they want to shut a church down or a ministry down, they simply would say anybody that wants to give to that ministry or that church, when they try, I'm sorry, your card or your number has been rejected. That's the exact kind of technology that the Bible is talking about in the book of the Revelation. But the Bible itself, listen, gives us a warning. Look at it again if you haven't seen it. Revelation 16, and notice chapter 13, and notice verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. Let him that has understanding, the Bible, understand. Friends, I want to emphasize and reemphasize again. What we're talking about is the technology that is leading up to the Antichrist. It is not the technology that is now that is of the Antichrist. That will happen after we are gone, praise God. Now, Not only that, but the future global center of technology that will control the lives of everyone on earth will be under the authority of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be in control. He will have a computer center from which he will operate. I want to share with you right now what Saudi Arabia is planning to do. Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman has developed a plan to spearhead a massive transformation of Saudi Arabia to move past being an oil-independent economy, to move toward a moderate Islam and to a peaceful and technologically advanced future. He has revealed, this is already a couple years old, Vision 2030 with three main pillars or main ideas. Number one, that the status of the country, that is Saudi Arabia, will be the heart of the Arab Islamic world. Number two, it will be determined to become a global investment powerhouse. In other words, they will control money from Saudi Arabia. Number three, to transform the country's location into a hub connecting three continents, Asia, Europe, and African continents. What about the West? Friends, I'm telling you, we here in the West don't matter anymore. We're basically destroying ourselves. We're basically destroying ourselves, and God's going to judge, I'm convinced. America and Europe are being taken over by Islam. It's interesting, if you take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation 17, I must hurry, I notice my time is just gone. In Revelation 17, the Bible is talking about the economic, political, religious hub of the world. And he is a name of this woman, this religion, this is what this heart of it is, a religion, in verse 5 of Revelation 17. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, that is, mother of religions, and the abomination of the earth. Notice this is connected to Babylon, which is today the country of Iraq, the religious commercial center of the world. It's connected to the ancient prophets. In chapter 18, verse 24, he says, whoever the religion is, it can trace her beginnings all the way back into the time of Abraham. Well, you say, well, that takes out Islam. No, Islam is not a new religion. It is revival of the crescent moon religion that can be traced, I don't have time to prove it to you tonight, goes all the way back to the time of Abraham. It's located near ocean shipping lanes. In chapter 18, when it's destroyed, the Bible says that the people who are in the boats off her shore will be weeping because the fact that this place that was a central hub religiously and economically is being destroyed. And they're also killing believers. This religion is killing believers in Jesus Christ. They have a resource that's making her rich as well as the world rich, and I think that is oil. And they're mesmerizing the kings of the earth. They have them eating out of their hands. Islam is the only religion in the world right now that's being protected by the United Nations and even the United States of America. And it's the revival of the seventh global empire, according to Revelation 17, verses 9 through 11. If you look at Revelation chapter 17, first thing John focuses upon here, remember the beast represents the Antichrist. And this beast has seven heads. He says the seven heads are kingdoms, their mountains, or their heads, the heads like heads of state. And he says five are fallen. Here they were, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. All these five empires preceding John's day. He tells John there are five that come before. There is the one that is now, that was Rome in John's day. He says there'll be another one will follow, and then it'll pass off the scene, and then it will be revived. Well, what was the empire that came after Rome? Well, it was the Islamic Empire that controlled the world up until World War I. And now we're watching the revival of that seventh one, which is Islam happening in our day. But he also says, look at it, there's not only in this beast's five heads, but 10 horns. And we learn from several passages these 10 horns are 10 contemporary kings with the Antichrist. And they're doing a similar thing the Antichrist does. We're now watching the development of the Abraham's Peace Accord. Just yesterday, our government, our administration, has saying they're going to press the Arab nations of the Middle East to become a part of the Abraham's Accords. Now, they got another motive for doing that. But friends, all I'm saying is the Bible says there's going to be 10 of them. Right now, there are 6. So 4 more have to come in. I'm convinced that the Antichrist will be a Sunni Muslim. It will probably come out of Saudi Arabia. It's only a guess. At the center of this vision, this 2030 vision, is the city of Neom. This means new future. It is a high-tech commercial global center, 33 times larger than New York City. Its location is very significant. Pay attention. Here, if you look at this part of the world here, this is the Sinai Peninsula. Here's Egypt. Here's Israel and Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And notice over here, which would be on the western part of Saudi Arabia, this whole general area along what's called the Red Sea here, is this massive area called Neom that they want to transform into being the commercial economic hub of the world. Now the question I have is Neom the future mystery Babylon the Bible talks about? The goal for the city is to bring the world together in one place. Those are the words of Saudi Arabia. That sounds like Genesis 11, doesn't it? With the Tower of Babel. They want to bring the world together. They want to create a new way of life for all people, they say. Genesis 11, 6, God says, nothing will be restrained from us, them. In other words, God had to confound their language to stop them through their vision and their goal. Now notice, the Bible tells us that when Israel, at the time of the Egypt, they came out, they crossed over the Red Sea, and I'm convinced they went to Mount Sinai, which is not over here in the peninsula, but is over here at Jebel al-Laws in Saudi Arabia. Three biblical reasons why I believe that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. Number one, because Moses was in Midian when in Exodus 2 and 3 he saw the burning bush. Remember, friends, remember that Moses, when he left Egypt, he went to Midian, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. It was in Midian, which is Saudi Arabia. Exodus 19:1 says that when Israel went, they went out of Egypt. In those days, Sinai Peninsula was a part of Egypt. So if they went out of Egypt, they had to go out of the Sinai Peninsula. Number three, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. He said that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 25. Now, why am I making a big deal of this? Listen. Before I read this, look up here at me. A part of Neom is to replace Mount Sinai, to destroy it, to erase all biblical evidence that this is where God met Moses and the children of Israel and Mount Sinai, and he gave them the most important document in the history of the world, the Ten Commandments, which was a marriage covenant that God made with Israel as his chosen people. Exodus 20 verse 18 says that all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoke. And when people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I'm showing you an actual photo of Mount Jebel's Law. The top of the mountain is still black. Those who've been there took these pictures, actual photographs from this area. The golden calf. More images of the golden calf. Notice the seven-branch candelabra. And the rock of Horeb, where Moses struck the rock and it was split and the water gushed out. They say there's a lot of evidence of this here. Now, Saudi Arabia's leadership is devoted itself to becoming a world leader in artificial intelligence and humanoid robots. Saudi Arabia is the first nation to grant citizenship to a humanoid robot named Sophia. Sophia recently spoke on behalf of Saudi Arabia at a UN summit on AI for good. I find it amazing that the first humanoid robot that's speaking to the world and preparing the world for the major role of robots in the future is depicted as a female. Why? Notice that the controlling power of Revelation 17 and 18 is depicted as a harlot. The number 666 is considered a sacred number in Islam. It is the number of their God, Allah. Notice and you will see with all the terrorists they have headbands on. And there is the number, as is depicted over here, 666, the number of Allah on their forehead. Now, it could be several years before the significant construction of Xeon is completed and mankind reaches the perfection of a humanoid robot. However, all of this illustrates that we're rapidly moving toward the end of days, just like the Bible proclaimed. This is not man's first global rebellion against God. It happened in the days of Noah, and it happened at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. The Bible says that in the days of Nimrod, the people came together in opposition to God's authority and laws. And the symbol of the rebellion was the Tower of Babel. Before they reached their goal, God stopped them. He judged them and said, "Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." I don't believe that AI is going to reach some of the goals that I've talked about and they have talked about in this message tonight. God is going to intervene. But it's very apparent that the technology of AI has prepared for the role of the Antichrist and his image and his 666, which is an Islamic number of the name of Allah. Remember that Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." The history of life on earth is drawing near its predicted end. And it's all taking place as God has ordained. God is orchestrating the events in His creation to His conclusion. Your life here, listen to me now, has been a test to prepare you for eternity. Are you ready? Think about it, friends. You're primarily here, I'm primarily here for one reason: to decide where I will spend eternity. All I'm simply trying to tell you and me tonight is this: our time is short. We must pray, we must witness, we must do everything we can. The time is now. What is happening with AI tells us how late the hour really is. May God give us wisdom for the days that we're living in. I'm excited. We're going home soon. And I can't wait. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to live at this hour. The prophets of old and the apostles were looking for this hour. John and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, all they wrote about these things and they didn't completely understand. But here we are now, reading their very words that the Spirit of God gave us. And we're seeing these things. Oh God, waken us from our sleep. Help us so we will open our eyes and our hearts and we will believe that we will step out of our spiritual stupor and live for Christ like never before. That we'll be filled with a holy boldness to stand up in the face of an unbelieving world and tell them there's only one way, and that's through the person and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, send us a revival. Send us a moving of your Spirit to waken us, that a few of us that are here, a remnant, may glorify Christ in the closing hours of this time. Well, thank you, praise you, Lord. We're totally, completely dependent upon you. We love you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Good night. God bless you.